I'm really pleased to have Kirk Cox, the former Speaker of the House of Delegates, the Republican who represents Colonial Heights, with us on the air this morning to kind of go over where things stand here in Virginia. Delegate Cox, thanks for coming on. I'm looking at the map of Virginia from the what we believe are the final election results in Virginia this year. Joe Biden with 54% of the vote, Donald Trump with 44% of the vote. And then I guess Daniel Gade kind of tracked very similarly to the Trump vote with these pockets of blue up in Northern Virginia, Hampton Roads, and in Richmond. You've been around for a long time. What do the numbers indicate to you? Anything good to talk about?
Yeah, John, thanks for having me. I think there's a lot of good to talk about.
Okay.
First of all, let's look at this. President Trump, with 2 million votes, that's about 600,000 more than Ralph Northam got in 2017. So the votes are there if you look statewide. And to me, and it's the reason I'm very interested in running for governor, you know, you have to have someone you can trust. You got to be able to speak to concerns. You got to be able to amplify what he did with the minority community, which I think I can do. I've said repeatedly, I've got a district that is only 46% Republican. You can win those districts. You can look across states that have Republican governors that also had similar results in November. So I feel very sure you can win Virginia. Mm-hmm. And you better win Virginia, because if you don't win it this time, you know, I do think that that is extremely problematic. But I feel I'm the right candidate. You got to be yourself. You got to be genuine. You got to talk to issues people care about. Yeah, sure you can win.
When you talk about the minority community, it does appear clear that Donald Trump did very well, I mean, comparably to other Republican candidates. And I guess I could go through some legislative proposals that he executed on in the last couple of years that got the attention of the minority community, as well as economic numbers that benefited the individuals in the minority community. But what would you say would be the selling point in Virginia? I mean, Donald Trump's kind of a unique guy. You know, he's the man, the billionaire with the building with his name in 20-foot gold letters. How does a Republican in Virginia replicate that kind of draw?
I think what he did and what you need to do is, I think for so many in the minority community, they sort of saw him more as the party of the working class. We've not always been that, let's be honest. And, you know, the guy that really cared about their jobs, it's more than just, you know, actually going in and helping, really helping them, not just expecting the vote as Democrats do, taking them for granted. And I think you're seeing a shift, John, in attitude. And that plays for every Republican. You know, my district is probably over 30% minority. And we did this. We went into those communities. I mean, look, the first school I taught at was Peabody Middle School in Petersburg, which at the time was probably 90% minority. First of all, I think they do think you have to care about him. They think, you know, that you'll go in there and actually, you know, work legislation to your point, whether it be low taxes or just K-12 situation where we're not back at school. And I think they're really suffering from that. They're great opportunities. You got to be the right candidate. And I'll say this repeatedly, we have not been willing to go into a lot of those areas and be proud of our ideas and campaign. And if you're not going to do that, you're not going to win. Those that don't show up don't win. And you better get out of your comfort zone. And I enjoy that. I've done that my entire career. So I think you can. He's caused a little bit of a philosophical change, I think. You know, the party of the elite now with the Democrats, I mean, look where the money comes from, the big corporations. There's been an interesting little shift there. And I think he helped that dynamic, and we need to build on that dynamic.
I had Dr. Daniel Gade on with me yesterday in our 9 o'clock half hour, and I asked him what he thought went well about the campaign, what he thought was bad. And he returned a couple of times to the funding issue and said that the national Republicans, I don't think he used the word abandoned him. That might be a little too extreme, but they didn't match Mark Warner dollar for dollar. And he felt like if he had gotten more money from national Republicans, that he could have competed and won in the state. That leads me to ask you, do you think if you're the nominee, or really is there anybody out there who can galvanize the attention of the big money people within the Republican Party and make it a competitive race financially in Virginia?
Sure, it's a different election. I mean, one of the problems for Daniel Gade was you had so many Senate races across the nation. You have two governor's races next year, New Jersey and Virginia. New Jersey is a difficult lift, let's be candid. I mean, I've already talked to a lot of the national folks. I think you need a national fundraiser. I've said repeatedly I raised $8.2 million as speaker. We have something called the Republican State Legislative Committee, which was very successful in winning state legislative seats. I've been the vice chairman of that committee, and that committee raises a lot of money. So, yeah, they're not automatically going to do it. They're going to think, they're going to look and see whether they think that particular candidate can win. So I will say I can win. And they are going to look at funding that. But it's not automatic. You're going to have to make the case. But it's a much easier case than you would have either this year or if you look in 2022, you've got, 36 states up. So that's a difficult lift. But we should be able to get funding if we have the right candidate and the right message. Yeah, I feel very good about national funding this time. It's a different scenario.
Who do you think the Democrats are looking at to put up? I mean, we've talked a lot about Terry McAuliffe coming back and trying to run again for governor. But then the folks that I talk to say there's a growing group within the Democrat Party who are in Virginia who are not happy about that and think that he is the embodiment of white privilege within the Democrat Party, and they want a minority woman to lead their party this year.
Great point. That's something I feel strongly Governor McAuliffe is really not weighing very well. You've got three candidates, would be minority candidates running. They're not going to just high-five Terry McAuliffe and say, I'm so glad you're reprising this and you're coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, with Terry McAuliffe's routine of, you know, slapping you on the back and you know, so the Clinton guy, et cetera, I'm not sure how that plays in the progressive Democratic Party of today. I've heard a lot of to your point, it's not his turn. He's had his turn. I see a very contentious Democratic fight for that nomination. I think Terry McAuliffe would like you to think it's his. It's not. And he's got some issues they are not happy about. I mean, you know, I'm very much, you know, I think energy is going to be a big issue. And I don't like where the Democrats are at all on that as far as natural gas. But, you know, Terry McAuliffe was for the pipeline. He was for other things that are anathema to Democrats. He's got a lot of explaining to do that. What does the Terry McAuliffe look like in 2021 as governor? And will he just move so far to the left to sort of kowtow to them? He's got some challenges.
Yeah, Democrats might tear themselves up a little bit, at least at the start here. It's interesting to observe, and I appreciate you coming on and talking to us. And as you continue your campaign for the nomination, seeking the nomination of the GOP, I hope we'll talk to you a lot. Kirk Cox, the delegate, the Republican delegate from Colonial Heights, thank you.
John, thanks. Great to be with you.